Hey, everybody. Welcome to today's podcast. Seth and I talking about de-escalation for ourselves. I wanted to bring Seth in to give a little bit of a different opinion and have a good conversation. And there might even be a part three. We'll see. Enjoy. Hello, and welcome to Parenting Post-Wilderness, your guide to parenting struggling teens. I'm your host, Beth Hillman, a mom of five boys, including a post-wilderness teen and a life coach for parents. I will guide you on how to influence lasting change by first understanding the relationship-changing power of focusing on your own behavior instead of futile attempts to control your teens. Parents, the change begins with us. Hello, parents, and hi, Seth. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Beth?
I'm good, thank you. All right. So it seems like I like to focus on different topics. I don't know. That seems to be what I do with the podcast. But let's continue our conversation about de-escalating ourselves.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other day, I saw a Brené Brown interview. And she was talking about her and her husband and kind of how they communicate their, I guess, levels of regulation to each other. She said that when they come home or when they, you know, like reconnect, they'll tell each other where they're at. They'll say, hey, just so you know, I'm at a full 85% today. So Whatever you got, I got you. You know, And then the other one might say, oh, so am I. Okay, super. And then they know they don't, you know, maybe neither of them need very much support. But other times, of course, they'll say, like, listen, I've got 15, maybe. And then the other person will say either like, you know what? I'm doing great. I'm at a 75. So how can I help you? What do you need? Or that other person might say, I'm at like a 10. Okay. Yeah. And then so it gives a little bit of forewarning to help people understand like where you're at. What do you think of that?
I mean, I think it's really accurate, and it's actually really funny that you bring up that interview because it's something that I recently discussed with my romantic partner, is just being able to communicate like how our day is, but do it in regards to what we have to give and what we have the capacity to process or understand. So I think it's really interesting that you brought up that interview with Brené Brown because it's something that, I recently have saw and was shown to by my romantic partner. And it's something that we're trying to incorporate into our lives because there's times when, like, even when you've had a really positive, upbeat day, like your energy, like you might be feeling really good, but you might not have the energy to be able to process or handle X amount more. And so it's really interesting because I think it really kind of relates to what we have the bandwidth for, because we only have so much energy throughout the day, and being aware of what our energy level is can help us in regards to knowing what we can deal with in the moment. Does that make sense?
Sure. Well, especially between partners, right? And maybe that's the parent of the teen and maybe it's not, right?
Right.
And so what's so helpful about this is, right, we've talked a lot about modeling self-regulation. So between, you know, adults, we can assess, like, you know, we're talking about communicating this, you know, your energy or how much you've got in your tank type of thing to the other parent, or the other person in the house, the other adult in the house, to say like, hey, you know, how much do you have in you as we're dealing with a struggling teen?
Sure. Because,
yeah.
And or that's, like, have you just had an unpleasant interaction and are like highly elevated emotionally, and therefore would it be better for the other person to kind of like step in and be the lead, so to say, in regards to communication?
Yeah, I think this is way more complex. I just want people to hear that I I think you and I, Seth, right. We both understand how extremely complex this type of thing is, especially when dealing with a struggling kid or a struggling person is, and I know that you're not going to be able to go to your teen and say, nor should you, right? That's inappropriate to say, hey, I only got 30 today, so watch your back. Right? Like, definitely don't do that. But with your partner or the other parent, then maybe you do. You know, take turns, mm-hmm. so to speak. I know my husband and I started to understand these certain subjects. I can't bring up as a mom. Like, there's just too much. I don't PTSD or trauma or whatever. Too much history with like these certain subjects. But my husband could go in and say, like, you know, hey, you got to clean the dishes. And then my son would do it. But if I went in there and said that, it would just be it would be a mess. And so I think that's pretty common within families. I got to a point where I could finally ask our son about his homework. I had to progress up to that point where I felt my nervous system felt safe enough to actually start, you know, having those weekly check-ins and actually talking about homework, which was very, very difficult for me. But even to this day, as of course, things have settled they've settled a great amount, of course, but there's still tension. And so even I still say to my husband, you know what, it's going to come from you a lot better than it's going to come from me. Or he'll say the same thing to me, right?
Well, can I ask you, like, how are you aware of that? I think that would be good for people to understand. Like, how are you aware that how you're going to come across is maybe not going to have the impact that you desire?
Probably I have feelings, big feelings, big emotions of scared, worried, fear, concern, those type of feelings. I'll feel dysregulated, to put it, I guess, you know, into a term. Right. But I'll start to have kind of big emotions, and I'll think, well, I know I'm not regulated, so how would I ever be able to come across calm in order to like say something? Because right. I do believe that I really do need to model self-regulation. Because if I'm not in a good spot, and then I go and trigger my son, it's just going to blow up on us. And so right. at this point, I figured out it's okay for me to be dysregulated 100%. I just don't want to parent from dysregulation. I know I've probably said that 1,000 times, but I'm going to say it 1,000 more times. Mm-hmm. That when I find myself dysregulated, I have to consciously tell myself, this is not the time to parent. This is the time to feel. And that takes practice, because my brain, just like most people's brains, they want to solve for the emotion when you're feeling emotional. And what that means is trying to control someone else, right? So right. whatever it is I'm asking, like it's fine to ask your kid to do the dishes. That's completely appropriate. But if I'm dysregulated, then I'm asking him to do the dishes because I'm dysregulated instead of do the dishes because this is going to increase your character.
Right, right. Well, it's how you're going to end up coming across to the other person.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because that's what I do. And there's so many times in my personal life and work life where I know when not to speak. If a really quick comment comes into my head, it probably shouldn't be said. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like if I have an instant visceral reaction to something, that's when I know to take a break. That's when I know not to say that. Majority of the time, but not all the time, that's for sure. Sure. But I also know when I have said something from an emotional state, because I instantly feel like guilt and shame for how I have come across. Mm-hmm. And I know those aren't necessarily healthy emotions to feel, but they do come up. I mean, I'm a human being just like everybody else, and I go through the gamut of emotions, but I automatically know if I have said something from emotional state, because I feel guilty because I haven't come across the way that I necessarily want to, or I know mm-hmm. that I've come across in a way that isn't going to be necessarily helpful to the situation. So I try to avoid that, but I'm not always going to be able to do that. Granted, the more I practice, the better I become at it. But there's plenty of times where oftentimes that emotional state has to do with something that's really not relevant to the moment, to be quite honest. It's either, past experience, or it reminds me of something else, or you know what I mean? And then from a parent perspective, like, okay, you see behavior that maybe in the past meant X, but you don't know if it means X now, but you have that like fear or that animosity or resentment that it's happening again. And so you are speaking from a past experience versus what is actually happening now.
Right, of course. Sometimes I feel like, I don't know, sometimes those highways are just really fast. I don't know how else to put it. Like sometimes I'm caught up in a pattern. I'll find myself caught up in a pattern and just like, how did that happen? I mean, what in the world? Do you ever feel like that?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. It's just like, oh my gosh, we've been we've been heightened voices for like 5 minutes and I literally don't know how we got here. It just happened so fast.
Right.
So do you use like maybe the guilt and do you use that as maybe a red flag? Cause does that say, okay. So that does say to you, oh, I just showed up how I didn't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what's your process after that? Do you kind of walk me through that?
My process after that is really thinking about like what actually just transpired. Am I feeling something from the past? I start to think about what actually was said, how it was said, what the topic of the conversation is. Is it something that has a negative connotation in regards to something from my past? And so I start to like break down where did the emotion come from? Did it actually come from this situation, or did it come from something else? Did it come from the fact that I'm just like really tired and exhausted and don't have the emotional bandwidth to like really deal with anything right now? And do I need to be able to communicate that? And then it's more a matter of, okay, it's trying to understand it, because I don't want to stay in that guilt and shame. I want to move past it to be able to communicate what I was feeling and why I was feeling it.
Right. Sometimes that takes a short amount of time and sometimes it takes much longer, would you say?
Oh, definitely.
Kind of processing through that.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely varies in regards to being able to understand, because sometimes things happen that we really don't have the conscious awareness to recognize where that emotion is coming from.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult. That's really hard.
It is. Sometimes it's very hard to kind of figure that out. And I love what you're saying about, I think everyone has these like tells, or I guess red flags. And if you can really consciously become aware of your own red flags of like when you're escalated or something, I think it can, because everyone has just a little bit of uniqueness, right? I start to get very, very blamey, very high on my horse, self-righteous a little. Yeah. I'm better. I'm doing it right, and the other person's doing it all wrong, mainly my husband.
Right.
And so I'll have these red flags, and they can be very, very helpful in recognizing, oh, I'm dysregulated. I'm actually not thinking with a clear head. It's interesting. And I think just because in order to regulate, you have to become aware that you're dysregulated. You have to be willing to own up to it, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's the difference of, and for me, like some of my red flags, my heart starts to race. My mind, my thoughts actually start firing really, really fast when I'm dysregulated. And if my thoughts are firing off really fast, I am processing, but I don't need to process out loud.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
So are those thoughts, do you feel like they're accurate thoughts? What are those fast-firing thoughts?
They normally come from a place of hurt or sadness or resentment.
Yeah. Okay. That's I think mine sound very similar to that too.
Like, yeah.
I can't believe this jerk. What?
Right. Well, I mean, and I think a good way to kind of maybe a good like out of the box example would be, you know, when someone cuts you off in traffic, right?
Sure.
And I mean, like really cuts you off. Instant reaction might be rage. It might be like really angry. And you might, you know, want to yell at them or show them a specific finger or who knows what. But all of a sudden, when you like, that's the emotional state. That's the emotional reaction. Mm-hmm. But if you're able to actually look at the larger picture, like maybe the person didn't even see you. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe, you know, who knows what is going on. But when you actually are processing, you can look at somebody else's side except for instead of just your side. And when I'm reacting from emotional state, I am only thinking about me.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. That is so true.
Right.
Oh my
God. So if I can become more aware of, okay, I'm in a state of, you know, protection, or I'm only thinking about myself, I probably need to spend a little bit more time like processing before I speak.
Mm. Oh, I like that. It's so interesting. When you said that, I just knew exactly what that sounded like to me. Like I start pitying myself, like, oh, I can't believe someone would do that to you, right?
Or how dare they?
Yeah, yes, it's more like that. Yeah, how dare they? I can't believe they treat me like this. I deserve better. It's like I deserve, or I'm better than, and
yeah,
right. And then of course, some people it sounds different, but some people it would sound like less than, like. Yeah, I deserve that. Like,
yeah. I deserve to be treated this way.
I'm sure I did something wrong here. Yeah.
Right.
But it's still about you. That's what I think.
It's still only about you.
Yeah. That is what's so fascinating, what you just said. It's so true. It is that all about me mentality, whether I'm better than somebody or whether I'm less than somebody, in some way, it's all my fault. That is a sure sign that you are dysregulated. And you'll notice that's what teenagers do as well, of course, right? And their brains make it about them anyway. But that is something that's shared, I think, in a dysregulated person, is that it's all about me. And I love also what you said. As soon as I can sort of, I guess, shake that up, and I start to see that there's another side or another person,
right,
and that they may have also had an agenda or a purpose or a plan or whatever it is that maybe conflicted with mine, right? If I all of a sudden can just start opening, like, oh my goodness, there's another person here, then I've started to regulate a bit. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I think not only have you started to regulate a bit, but you're also looking at another perspective, which ultimately means that you're trying to come up with a solution that works for everybody, taking in consideration another person's perspective or what they are experiencing or going through. And you're going to start working towards a common goal and not a goal that is beneficial for just you.
Yes, that's it. Isn't that, that's fascinating. If you guys can hopefully follow that, it's like, yeah, if you know, it's all about you, you're still high emotions, still dysregulated. And as you start to see that somebody else is in the picture and that you care about their outcome as much as you care about yours, right? It's a mutual desire for it to work out for. Now, does it always work out for both parties? No. But when you can consider someone else's feelings, thoughts, agenda, right? You start to consider other people that I love. That is when you've started to regulate. Those are the signs, I think, is what we're sort of walking through. And it's so true. That's happened to me over and over and over again. And what I guess I'd really like to throw in here also is that can take time. Time. Right?
Oh, yeah. If I want to be right, I'm still dysregulated.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's so true. And boy, I want to be right a lot. Oof. Just saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh.
I do.
It's so interesting because we've been dealing with trying to figure out how to communicate some things to some of our children. And it's just, you know, my husband has an idea how to communicate. I have an idea how to communicate. We both have emotions and feelings, and sometimes it gets dysregulated because we're a family. And we've let some time pass, probably about a month. I'm going to be really honest, about a month. And I've just within the last week or two have started to realize, it's everything's actually okay. Like, yes, there was some, you know, not nearly as dysregulated as it used to be. I'm going to tell you that right now. We have absolutely progressed. And that is that is very awesome and very heartwarming to say that and to witness that within our family and myself. But that doesn't mean there's still some high emotions, of course. We're just not as reactive as we used to be. And my brain still tells me stories like, this is never going to be okay. I've lost them forever. They're never going to forgive me. Like, I still have those stories. But if I just wait and wait, and not just wait, but really feel my feelings, process through. Last week's podcast was all about really diving into, I feel disappointed and it's okay, and just really leaning into the feelings. And that's what we have been doing. And it slowly starts to break up. My shoulders slowly start to settle back down. And all of a sudden I realize we're going to be okay. It's okay. And luckily I didn't say any of it, right? I just had a lot of fear and concern come back up for me as we're kind of dealing with some, and I can't be too specific right now because it's so close. Oh my gosh, it's so hard. I want to help parents. I want to tell you guys everything, but some things are just still so close. And so maybe in a few months, I'll be happy to share some details. And I know that's really hard because I really want to give details. But thanks for having patience with me as I like share some things and choose not to share other things. But I just had this sort of realization today again. It's like, you know what? Time is so helpful, especially if you use your time processing and leaning in. That's just the bottom line.
Absolutely. I think a good way as well to possibly think about it is, you know, as a parent, like with your employer, if you have an employer, like, are there times where you're just like so pissed off and so frustrated at a decision that was made, but you don't instantly like write your letter of resignation and turn it in automatically? You'd like, you kind of take time to think, okay, how can I make this work? Do I need to say anything? Do I not need to say anything? Like, you don't instantly go into how you're feeling. And if we had that same approach when it came to like our family dynamics, I think it'd be very helpful. But that's kind of my perspective. I don't know what you think about that.
No, I like that. And it just comes back to the pause, I think, right? Yeah. Like, we've talked about the pause and just being willing to pause and feel. That is how you de-escalate yourself, is you own that you're escalated and you own your feelings and you process through them, you lean in, which is counterintuitive. I'm just going to say it again and again. It is so counterintuitive to lean in to your emotions. I was talking to someone today and they said what everyone's fear is, which is, I'm afraid if I lean in, I'm going to spiral. And I'm like, but spiraling comes from resisting your emotion. You think your body feels like you're leaning in because you're so mad or you're so disappointed, but it is different. That is if you're spiraling, I promise you're resisting mostly, really, or reacting or avoiding. You're doing one of those three things because that's what spirals emotions is, not being honored. If you lean in, it's different. It is a different feeling than avoiding, reacting, or resisting. And I'll say it 1,000 more times.
Yeah. I mean, not reacting when you're in an emotional state is incredibly difficult not to do.
It is.
But it's also incredibly unproductive as well. Yeah. From my experience.
It is. That's right. So, I think you're right. Both of they're truths for sure. It is very hard to not. It's very hard to take a pause, but it is the most helpful thing you can do. And like we've always said, I think 99.9999% of the time, there is a pause available. You have the time. Your brain makes you think you don't have time or think that you have to say something right then, but it's just not true. You almost always, if not always, can take a minute, can take a breath, and then revisit. So awesome. Well, thank you, Seth. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Beth.
Any last comments?
No.
All right. I love it. This is such an important topic, and I'm really grateful for your thoughts about it.
Likewise. I appreciate the conversation.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. Thank you for joining me today. If you know a struggling parent, please share this with them. If you have any questions or want to connect with me, you can find me on Instagram at Beth Hillman Coaching or through my website, BethHillmanCoaching.com. And remember, parents, the change begins with us.